Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Thank the Lord for His goodness. He's so faithful. And I think we ought to just take a moment to spend praising the Lord. Father, we just praise You and thank You for Your goodness. Lord, we just bless You. Lord, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but You said, Lord, the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And so, Lord, I thank You for Your delivering power right now, Lord, that Your ministry, Your mercy, Your faithfulness is extended to Your people. And, Lord, that You will just encourage their hearts. Lord, let them understand that we may be just flesh and blood, but when God is with us, we can do powerful exploits for You. We can do things that we would have never thought of on our own. But Lord, You have called each and every one of members of Your body for a purpose with a divine calling. And Lord, we thank You that those that are listening, Father, they are going to fulfill and complete that plan of Yours in their life, just as Gideon did. Lord, I praise You and I thank You for it. Amen. Well, we have been looking at the life of Gideon, at some of the things that we can learn from him. And we see that when he started out, he was hiding from the enemy, the Midianites. He was certainly not very courageous. He considered himself least in his father's house. But the scriptures tell us that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's what the Lord told Paul. And there were other elements that enabled him to become that man of God who God called him to be, a deliverer, a judge for the people of Israel. And also we see an important factor in Gideon's success was his awareness and his understanding of divine companionship. Verse 16, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I shall be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." The Living Bible says in verses 14 through 16, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, I will make you strong. Go and save Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. But I, Jehovah, will be with you, and you shall quickly destroy the Midianite hordes." The modern language says, "And you shall destroy the Midianites one and all." So divine companionship, beloved, God is with you right now, just as He was with the three Hebrew children in the midst of the fiery furnace. He was with Moses when he spoke before Pharaoh. He was with Paul when he faced execution, when he was giving his testimony in Rome. He was with His people, and Jesus promised He would never leave nor forsake us. And so this divine companionship, it's not a presumption, but it's simply taking God at His promise. It's not taking God's presence for granted, but it's, beloved, the knowledge that we are never alone, especially in the trials and battles we face. God has promised to be our all-sufficiency, and in Him, beloved, we can trust. And then another element that was going on in the life of Gideon for him to accomplish the tasks, and perhaps maybe one of the very reason that he was being called, is unselfishness. He had humility. He didn't think of himself as very much of a deliverer, that's for certain. He needed many reassurances, many confirmations that God was with him and really wanted him to do this great task. But in verse 12 and 13, the Lord said He would be with thee, meaning, of course, in a personal way, Gideon, but also there was an identification with the people of Israel. Gideon lost himself in his people. It wasn't only his his cause, his war. He was fighting for all of Israel, and so conscripted the people. He called all of Israel, just as the Lord's answer to Moses was, and all of his servants, I am with you. And that's what the Lord is speaking today to you, beloved. He's with you. If you could really just take a little bit of time and meditate upon that. Don't begin rehearsing the problem over and over again. Don't look at what the enemy is doing, but look at what the Lord is doing. Don't let fear and doubt consume you, but look to the Lord and know that He is with you. And, you know, we have to realize the importance of our position in the body of Christ. What we do or what we don't do may affect eternal destinies, and certainly the freedom with which Christ is able to move here and now in circumstances. And so sometimes we think, well, who am I? I'm nothing. That's what Gideon basically thought. I'm least. Who am I? Why? And Moses, with everybody that was really called of God, is like, Lord, can't you get somebody else to do it? I don't know about, in fact, I have to confess to that myself. It's, Lord, you can, somebody else could do this better than me. But He didn't call somebody else. He's called you. He's called me. He's called each one of us to walk in the path that He has called us to walk on. And so we have to understand that God will not leave us. He will be our help. Don't forget that the Lord emphasizes, surely, He's making it very emphatic, I will be with thee. And it's the Lord's presence that makes us mighty. And then, of course, there's the power of prevailing prayer. And that's symbolized in the present or gift that Gideon offers. Remember, he made some unleavened bread. He prepared, butchered a kid, and cooked it. Do you realize the length of time that was involved in all of that? And he presents it. So there's a time period while he's doing all these kitchen preparations. You can be sure his mind is awhir at what is happening to him. And of course, we understand at verse 21, with the touch of an angel, the gift becomes a sacrifice. And then, of course, the angel of the Lord just disappears. And then, of course, he says, oh my goodness, I've, come face to face with the Lord. And the Lord tells him, don't be afraid. I mean, he hasn't done all this just to cause him to, die because he was in the presence of the Lord. But he called him for a purpose, and he built an altar, Jehovah Shalom. And then there's a loyalty and a belief in God's word. That's, once he'd had all these fleeces confirmed to him, and he went through quite extravagant measures to make sure it really was the Lord, then there was a belief in what God was telling him. A confidence grew. And, after this, the successful victory he had, we read in chapter 8 of Judges, verse 28, thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. So you see, this was a tremendous historical event for the people of Israel. Gideon obeyed the Lord. I mean, he not only had victory when, those 300 just obeyed him, but he continued to pursue them. That's the amazing thing. They took the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and they brought their heads, these were the men, to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. And then, of course, Ephraim was the son. Why didn't you call us? And so Gideon pursues those remaining, what was left of the army, and he comes to Jordan, and he asks the men of Succoth to give them bread, and they deny him. And then he goes on speaking confidently. Then Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. They were very hungry, and they simply refused to help them. And then he went to Penuel, and he spoke to them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he said, well, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. because they were desperately in need of something to eat, and they were refused. And so it said, as tired as they were, weak and fasting as they were, it said when Ziba, this is chapter 8, verse 12, and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Ziba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. And so they extended themselves beyond even their natural strength, and the Lord gave them tremendous victory. And of course, the final end of the story is Gideon arose, and he slew Ziba and Zalmunna, and the men of Israel said unto us, Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy men, and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Praise God. And so we see that he had loyalty and belief in the Lord's word. And of course, he had a definite commission, just as each one of us. He's called every one of us to go and preach the gospel. Well, we may not go to China or to Africa or to Malaysia, but we can go to our neighbors, we can speak to our friends on the job site, wherever, whatever God puts on our hearts, we're able to be ministers for him. Remember verse 14, have not I sent thee? God has sent each one of us, and we have a job to do. So Gideon had a definite experience, personal experience with the Lord. He had divine favor, a healthy discontent for his present circumstances. He had meekness. He had humility. He had the divine presence of God with him. He was unselfish. He had prevailing prayer operating. He had faith in God's word and the faithfulness to stand in the midst of battle, as well as a definite commission. We all have those things that God has given into our hands. So let us arise and let us go forth in the name of the Lord. Regardless of how bad the situation was, as it was for Gideon, he will cause you to always triumph in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you so much for joining me. I invite you to write. I so look forward to receiving your letters, and I'll stand with you in prayer faithfully. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for listening, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.